The scripture is from the 23rd chapter of Luke. Everyone in the council got up and led Jesus off to Pilate. They started accusing him and said, "We caught this man trying to get our people to riot and to stop paying taxes to the emperor. He also claims that he's the Messiah, our king." Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Those are your words," Jesus answered. Pilate told the chief priests and the crowd, "I don't find him guilty of anything." But they all kept saying, "He's been teaching and causing trouble all over Judea. He started in Galilee and has now come all the way here." When Pilate heard this, he asked, "Is this man from Galilee?" After Pilate learned that Jesus came from the region ruled by Herod, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. For a long time, Herod had wanted to see Jesus, and he was very happy because he finally had this chance. He had heard many things about Jesus and hoped to see him work a miracle. Herod asked him a lot of questions, but Jesus did not answer. And then the chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses stood up and accused him of all kinds of bad things. Herod and his soldiers made fun of Jesus and insulted him. They put a fine robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends, even though they had been enemies before this. Pilate called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people. He told them, "You brought Jesus to me and said he was a troublemaker. But I have a question here in front of you, and I've not found him guilty of anything that you say he has done." Herod didn't find him guilty either and sent him back. "This man doesn't deserve to be put to death. I just have him beaten with a whip and set free." But the whole crowd shouted, "Kill Jesus. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas was in jail because he had started a riot in the city and he had murdered somebody. Pilate wanted to set Jesus free, so he spoke again to the crowds. But they kept shouting, "Nail him to a cross, nail him to a cross, crucify him, crucify him." Pilate spoke to them a third time and said, "But what crime has he done? I have not found him guilty of anything for which he should be put to death. I will have him beaten with a whip and set free." The people kept on shouting as loud as they could for Jesus to be put to death. And finally, Pilate gave in. He freed the man who was in jail for rioting and murder because he was the one the crowd wanted to be set free. And then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to do what they wanted with him.
This is a red balloon. It's true, it's red. We all know our colors. The absolute truth is that this balloon is red.
No, it's not. That's green.
What?
This right here is a green balloon.
That is the prettiest yellow balloon.
Yellow? This is red. Yeah, come over here.
No, it's green.
It's red!
Yeah, I know, it's a red balloon.
Hey, will you look at it from my point of view, please?
What?
Hey, nice blue balloon.
Blue. It's green!
Green? It's red.
Why are you saying it's red when it's blue?
Huh?
It's totally purple from here!
Purple? Okay, you know what? Let's just settle this once and for all, okay?
Where are you going?
Hey, what color is this balloon?
I only see in black and white.
Okay. Hey, Mark, what color...
There is no balloon.
This is ridiculous!
Hey, I know what the problem is. Look, my mom taught me that this was blue. But, you know, then she said this is red and green, yellow, you know, and on and on.
Okay, right. I get that your mom taught you that that was blue, but I mean, that's not the truth.
Whoa, why are you talking bad about his mom?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Listen, I respect your mother.
Thank you.
And the way she raised you. She taught you that it was blue. Our moms taught us that it was red. Right. That's the way it goes.
I thought you said it was green.
It is green. See, I'm smart. I went to college. And in college, I learned all these different theories about color.
Really?
And my color professors, who have doctorates in color... Do you have a doctorate in color?
No.
It shows. Ooh. Okay? They can't even agree on one theory of color, so you have to look at all the different theories and pick which one works best for you. And green is great for me.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
No, you can't just pick whatever color fits your life the best. Red is red.
Okay, do you know the word intolerant?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're being right now. All right, you're shoving your opinion down my throat.
Okay, it's not my opinion, it's the truth.
Hold on. All we're saying is that we need to stop arguing about trivial things. Like truth.
You know, the funny thing about truth is, it's true, whether you believe it or not.
We're in our Lenten series entitled Untangled. This week we're talking about Jesus' trial. It's actually his trials. The first trial was with the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, the Jewish rulers. And that's really where he was first convicted. They said, "Are you God's son then?" And he replied, "You say that I am." And they said, "Well, we need no further testimony than that. It came from his own lips." And now only to get him crucified, only to get him executed. And the only way they could do that was to get Rome's approval. And so they go to Pilate. Pilate was the prefect or the governor of Judea. He was appointed by Tiberius, the Caesar, the emperor. Upper middle class, he had the power of life and death. He's the one that appointed the high priest. You think for a minute, the high priests that were in office at the time weren't pro-Rome. He controlled the temple and its funds. In fact, he at one time took the temple funds and appropriated them to build an aqueduct in the area for Rome. And the Jews got so upset that he sent in troops and there was a massacre. He was by nature rigid and stubbornly harsh. He was spiteful and he was wrathful. Took a lot of bribes. He had a lot of acts of pride, a lot of acts of violence, outrages, cases of spiteful treatment, constant murders without trial, and ceaseless brutality. And it is to this Pilate that the Sanhedrin bring Jesus. Now, even though Pilate, with his personality the way it was, they probably had it in their head that this is going to be a no-brainer. Bring Jesus to this cruel man. And this cruel man probably would be happy to have just another spectacle of death in his area. But they still have to craft their charges in such a way that Pilate's able to wreak the sentence without and still save face. And so they come in with this. "We found this man, Jesus, misleading our people, opposing the payment of taxes to Caesar, and claiming that he's Christ the King." So how would Pilate take these charges? The first one, misleading the people, I don't think he would have cared much about. Jesus was misleading the Jews, big deal. Rome occupied Judea. They hated the Jews. But Rome didn't care if the people were being misled religiously. Tiberius, as with all the Caesars, had already been deified. Tiberius was the Roman god. So this first charge would have meant nothing unless, by misleading the people, Jesus caused riots. And that the Romans wouldn't allow. Then the second charge, opposing the payment of taxes to Caesar, we know from Scripture that was bold-faced lie. But that would be addressed by the third charge, not that Jesus was the Christ, but that Jesus was setting himself up to be king. That would not stand with the Romans. So if anything would get Jesus executed, it would be if they could prove that Jesus was trying to set himself up as a ruler not authorized by Caesar. So, seen in the light of Pilate's responsibility, these charges were serious, especially since the Jewish leadership, those that had been appointed by Pilate, portrayed itself as sensitive to Roman concerns. Politically and personally, these charges pushed all the right buttons, so Pilate moved to examine Jesus. And Pilate says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus replies, "Well, that's what you say." So Pilate says to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no legal basis for action against this man." In other words, there's nothing here, guys. There's nothing here. But the religious leaders aren't going to have it. They objected strenuously. and say, he agitates the people with his teaching throughout Judea. He started in Galilee, and now he's come all the way here. And Pilate goes, what? Galilee? Did I hear that right? He's Herod's problem, not mine. And so Pilate sends Jesus off to Herod. Herod was the tetrarch of the Jews. He's a ruler of the Jews. Let the Jewish ruler decide the matter. Let him take the heat. If any political mistakes are to be made, they will be made in consultation with Herod. And if Pilate has problems later, he can always say, Herod made me do it. So political and social forces are swirling like a tornado around Jesus. And despite his innocence, the trial proceeds. Truth has a way of getting lost in people's agendas. More on Herod in a minute. So Pilate sends Jesus to Herod. Herod doesn't find him guilty of anything either. Sends him back to Pilate. And Pilate continues to declare Jesus innocent and to try to convince the crowds of his innocence. But the crowds don't want any part of it. Crucify him, crucify him. Execute him, execute him. If you're going to release anyone, release Barabbas. Barabbas may be a murderer and a rioter. But at least he's not upsetting our priests. He's not upsetting the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Release Barabbas instead. The story of Herod and Pilate, I had a lot of trouble with this week. Herod I get. Herod I can apply to my life. Pilate not so much. And I talked to Keith about it and Keith said, Nance, Pilate's the easy one. He said, the Sanhedrin, Herod, those from the Jewish tradition, you can understand why they weren't accepting Messiah. They're so entrenched in the rules and the laws and the traditions, the expectations of Messiah within Judaism, that it would be tough to get past those walls. They'd balk at someone claiming to be the one their God sent. But Pilate was a blank slate. He was an empty vessel in which to pour the truth of who Jesus is into. And I think Pilate was at least thinking about it. His own agenda, his own power, his own prestige kept him from seeing the truth. He didn't want to try Jesus. In other words, he didn't want to deal with God. By sloughing it off, by keeping it all on the surface, he didn't really have to ask or answer the question, who is this Jesus? He just pushed it off on someone else so he wouldn't have to face the truth. Okay, I acknowledge there's something about him, this Jesus of yours. You believe that he's the Messiah. You go ahead and make him Lord of your life. I'll pass. No, thank you. That's your thing. And then he tried to make a bargain in order to please the crowd by offering Barabbas instead. As Christians, we don't offer the world someone like Barabbas instead of Jesus. But all too often, we do offer a substitute to please the crowd. Rather than offering a chance to get to know Jesus, we offer them a chance to know someone who isn't even recognizable as Jesus, a diluted version of him. We've become a people of anything goes. All behaviors are perfectly fine. We've become so big on love the sinner that we've started to ignore the sin. And while that's who we're supposed to be, we're supposed to love the sinner, we don't have any business judging anyone, here's the danger. By ignoring the sins of others, it becomes very, very, very easy for us to start ignoring our own sin. And we become Barabbas. We become the one released in exchange for Jesus, which we were, but we don't repent. We don't change. We don't atone. and we remain barbarousy so that we can continue to have the approval of the crowd, of the world. We say Jesus is Lord, we say Jesus is worthy, but we're afraid to take a stand to honor him. We don't declare Jesus as God. But if Jesus is not God, then we're dismissing him as a liar or a lunatic. And then there's Herod, the son of Herod the Great. Herod the Great was the king that was in place when Jesus was born. You may remember he ordered that all babies of a particular age be killed in hopes of catching the Messiah in the midst of that slaughter. And then when he died, the region was broken up into four areas for his four sons to rule. And Herod Antipas, the Herod in this story, got Galilee. And so Pilate sends Jesus to Herod for another trial of his own people. Herod is so excited to see Jesus. He's heard about the miracles Jesus has been doing. He can't wait to be entertained. But Jesus just stands there silent, not a word out of him, because he's not going to play trained dog in the circus. And Herod mocks him and dresses him up and sends him back to Pilate. Too many people are into this Christianity thing because of what's in it for them. Heal me, Jesus. Fix my situation, Jesus. Feed me, Jesus. Give me, Jesus. And when the miracle doesn't happen, when Daddy doesn't give us our own way, when Santa Claus doesn't bring us the present we want, we turn away from him, our faith wavers, and we question him as our God. But it's not about you. While we serve a God who absolutely can fix, he can heal, he can give, he can feed, and does, that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came to be the final perfect sacrifice to remove our sins so that we can be in relationship with God. And it's not because of what God can give us, but it's because God is God. It's about him, period. But what about us? How often do we come to Jesus to be entertained, see something new and amazing? How often do we mock and deny him when he fails to entertain and amaze us in the ways that we expect? In the ways that we desire. Herod and Pilate both had an opportunity to seek the truth. The truth. The truth that is Jesus. Who he is. Why he is. But both chose to ignore the truth in exchange for their own agendas, their own gain, their own self. We've been given the truth. Jesus is the truth. What are you going to do with it? Who do you say this Jesus is? One way Jesus described himself, and one truth about Jesus, is that he is the bread of life. On the last night he spent with his disciples, he broke the bread. Ordinary, simple, plain old food. But he gave it a new meaning. He said, this is my body and I'm giving this to you. And so at your tables, take a piece of bread. And as you taste it, as you chew it, as you swallow it, remember Jesus, his sacrifice for you, and his spirit given to you to dwell within you. And then he took a cup. And he said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, the new way of doing things. And when you drink it, remember me. And so take a cup of juice and drink it. And as you swallow it, remember Jesus, his sacrifice for you, and his spirit given to dwell within you.